Good afternoon, church. It is good again to be in the house of the Lord, and I pray that things are going well with you. We know that today is Wednesday, and let me just say happy Wednesday. We know that on this day, our president is being inaugurated today, and we know that we're lifting up the country. So many things can happen and can go on, and so we pray that you are praying through these difficult days. We are grateful that in spite of it all, our God is still a good God, and I believe we are on the road to recovery. So it's just good to be again in the house of the Lord. It is our word on Wednesday. We want to share with you we finished up our series last week on balancing your life, and we pray that you were blessed through that. Today, I want to talk just briefly about recovering your lost spiritual vitality. How do you do that? How do you recover your lost spiritual vitality? And I believe one of the great stories of the Old Testament will help us to do that today. Let's pray together, and we will jump right into the word. Most gracious and eternal Father, we are so grateful again for the opportunity to be let down into the deep treasures of your word. We are grateful because we know that you do all things well, and in spite of this pandemic, in spite of what our country is going through, in spite of health challenges and financial difficulties, you are still God. And we're grateful for that. We know that besides you, there is none other. And so we trust you. We love you. We ask that as we study your word today, you let us down into the deep treasures so that we may know what thus saith the Lord and how to live our life according to your will. We pray that you help us through this service, this time in your word, to be good soldiers of the cross. We love you. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Listen, I want to talk today about recovering your spiritual vitality, your lost spiritual vitality. And listen, I'm sharing this because I've been a Christian it's almost 40 years now. Actually, when I was 18 years of age, I gave my life to the Lord, acknowledged Christ in my life. So almost 40 years now, I've been a Christian. And I've discovered that it's very easy, beloved, to fall into a spiritual slump. Even though we are active and doing things and all of that, we can fall into what is called spiritual dry spells, times where we don't feel as close to God, when our heart seems to be a little cold toward spiritual things. And sometimes it gets to the place to where we feel almost empty inside, when even our prayers seem not to go unanswered, and it seems as if our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. And if we are honest, all of us go through times like that in our spiritual journey with God. We go through spiritual slumps where we don't feel the strength, we don't feel the power. We feel like David in Psalms 71, where he said, "Oh God, do not be so distant from me." It's that ideal of not feeling the power and the presence of God in our life. And all of us go through those times in our spiritual life. The truth is this, if we're honest, we're not super saints. We're not individuals that, got it all together. There are days where, we just don't feel it, don't feel like it, don't want to do it, don't want to get up, don't want to push ourselves in spiritual areas, and times where we just got to recognize that we're not as close to God as we used to be. Those dry spells, when we're going through a spiritual slump, the good news is this, hallelujah, we don't lose our salvation. Once saved, we believe always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. God, praise be to God, he doesn't have a big eraser up in heaven that every time we do something wrong, he erases our name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise be to God. We don't lose our salvation. However, we lose the joy of it. You know, there's no joy in serving, no joy in the salvation, no joy in doing what's right. There's no happiness or no peace. We lose the confidence that we have in Christ, that we can do all things, you know, through Christ who gives us strength. We lose that at times and don't feel that power, that strength, that push to keep driving us to keep serving the Lord. And I know some of you all will say, that ain't me. I'm a super saint. Well, if that's the case, beloved, I ain't talking to you. I'm only talking to the real Christian who want to be honest about there are days where we feel that we're falling into a spiritual slump, that we're not as close to God as we used to be. And it's what we call getting into a spiritual rut. You know, that when everything in life, you know, becomes predictable, you know, our routine replaces our relationship with God. We are going through, especially in this pandemic, where we are logged on online and connecting online and small groups online and all that. And we can feel disconnected, not only to the church, but to God. And it just becomes predictable. We just do what we're supposed to do because that's what we're supposed to do. And we're not cultivating, really cultivating our relationship with God. We log in at the St. Paul service at 10 a.m. because we're supposed to, you know. You know, we just, you know, we do it whether we feel it or not. And the truth is, we read our Bible sometime, and, you know, it's just routine. It's by rote, and it has become predictable. It's time to do this, time to do that, time to go to Young Ambassadors, or to go to this class, or whatever it is that we've just been doing by rote. And our relationship with God is not as solid as it used to be. We don't feel that closeness, you know. We pray the same prayers. You know, when we go to bed now, lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I mean, we're praying rote prayers and all of that. Even prayers at mealtime. Lord, I thank you for this food, for the nourishment of our body. You know, that's rote stuff and routine. But the relationship with God is not what it used to be. So the ideal on this lesson is I want to help us get back to that place, you know, so that we're not just reading Bible scriptures and logging in by routine or rote. We're not just singing old songs, and they don't have the oomph that they used to. I mean, you know, like Amazing Grace and all of that stuff, because the relationship is not as solid. The relationship with God is not as solid as we want it to be, as God wants it to be. So we want to kind of shake things up in our life and get us out of that spiritual rut, because if you're listening to me right now and you feel somewhat disconnected to God, what do you do? What do you do when you feel that you've lost your spiritual vitality? What do you do when you feel as if you've lost your cutting edge? You're not as sharp in the spiritual area as you once was. What do you do when you do that? And I believe there's a story right out of 2 Kings chapter 6, and that's the miracle of Elisha and the lost axe head that through the power of God he made float. I believe in that story it'll help us when we lose our spiritual vitality, spiritual oomph and push. And I know it's a bizarre story. It seems crazy. An axe head falls into the Jordan River, and Elisha flips a stick into the water, and the axe head comes to the top. Quite bizarre, because last time I checked, I didn't know that iron could float. So, you know, there are some stories in the Bible that you got to go, man, that has to be a miracle. And I believe that God has a parable in every miracle, and every miracle is a parable. There's a story that God wants us to get, and there's some spiritual truth that God wants to teach us. So you all know the story in Acts, in 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me just read it for you real quick, so I don't want you to think I'm making this up. It says, verse 1, watch this. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, "See the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us." It says, verse 2, "Let us go to the Jordan River and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there." And he answered, watch this, "Go." Then one of them said, "Please go, please be pleased to go with your servant." And Elijah answered, "I will go." So he went with them. Elijah went with them, verse 4, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then Elijah said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed it in the place, he cut off the stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Come on, somebody help me. And he said, "Take it up." And he reached out his hand and he took it up. I believe it's in this story that this Old Testament story that we can learn some lessons here, some truth here. It's pretty crazy, bizarre story. We can learn some truths here about recovering our spiritual vitality, our strength in the Lord. And, you know, you can want to ask, why is this story in the Bible? You know, this floating axe head. Well, because I believe it teaches us four things about what do we do when we lose our spiritual, when we lose our cutting edge, when we lose our spiritual vitality. And, this axe head really represents the spiritual power in our life. That's what it is. It's the spiritual power. It's the sharp power that cuts the tree down. And when you lose it, what do you do? And I think this story teaches us four things that we can do when we're in a spiritual slump, or we feel like we've lost our spiritual vitality, or we've lost our cutting edge, we're not as sharp as we used to be. First thing on your outline that you got to look at, first thing you got to do right there in the outline, number one is admit you lost it. Get that. Admit you lost it. That's the first thing. We got to be honest with ourselves, you know. We got to stop living in denial. We're not as close as we used to be. We don't have that spiritual strength like we used to, and we got to admit to ourselves. I think the great theologian Shakespeare said, "To thine own self be true." We've got to be true to ourselves and honest with ourselves that we're not as close as we used to be. Notice what he says in verse 5. He said, "But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water," "and he cried out, 'Alas, master.'" In other words, he says, "Master, my axe head has fallen into the water. What am I to do?" He admitted to someone else that his axe head had fell into the water. Remember, I told you that the axe head is a symbol of our spiritual power. And this first thing this man did is admit that his axe head fell into the water. He confesses it to someone else. Didn't have to do that. You know, the truth of the matter is, when he lost his axe head, which represented his power and his ability to cut down the tree or to do a job, he didn't have to confess it. He could have done a couple of things. First of all, he could have made an excuse to quit working. You know, once the power was gone, once the axe head was gone, he could have instead of confessing it, he could have made an excuse. Well, now is my time to stop working, you know. Since I lost my cutting edge, and since, you know, I don't have the axe head or the power to do the job, well, maybe I'll just, you know, let somebody else do the work. And listen, we've all met Christians like that. They're not as close to God as they used to be. And so they say, well, I've done all this serving. I'll just let somebody else do it now. I deserve a break anyway. I'm tired. And, you know, I've done my part. And, you know, I've been close to God in the past. And so, you know, this man could have just made an excuse to quit working. And praise be to God, this man did not do that. He could have also, beloved, he could have pretended that he still had the power. Come on, somebody. And he could have pretended that he still had the axe head and pretended he was still chopping. Come on, somebody, help me. And, you know, he could have said to himself, well, maybe if I just keep moving, nobody will notice that I don't have the strength or the power. I don't have the axe head. I don't have the cutting edge to do the job. Are you listening to me? And, you know, just pretending, just going through the motions. And, you know, I don't want to let on to my Christian friends that I'm not as close to God as I used to be. So I'm just going to keep pretending, doing this thing over and over again, acting as if I got the power or the strength or the vitality to keep on going. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, we can all go through the motions and pretend as if we got the power and the strength, but the reality is we don't have it anymore. And, you know, we've lost it, but we don't want to admit it. Come on, somebody, help me. We don't want to admit that we're not as close to God as we used to be, and that we've lost power and strength and vitality in our life. And we say, I'll just keep working furiously and frantically, going through the motions, which is a lot of sweat and production. Are you listening to me? This man didn't do that. He didn't make excuses to quit working, and he did not pretend that he still had it. One of the saddest things in the Christian life, and tragic things in the Christian life, is that when a person loses their cutting edge and they just keep on going through the motions, they're not effective, they're not doing the job, they're not on the cutting edge, they're not where they should be, they're not operating in the power of God, they're operating in their own strength and their own vitality and trying to do it on their own. And the truth is this, beloved, that is a tragedy in the Christian church. And the truth is, we got to be courageous enough to admit that we are not where we used to be. But we want to keep on doing it. And we know that we cannot do it. The truth of the matter is, that's tragic. And this man, you know, yeah, I mean, you can take a life from Samson. When it says Samson had lost his power, but he did not know it. That is a mark of a lot of folk in ministry. They're operating and doing things and acting as if they still got strength and power, but it's not there and don't even know that it's gone. That's tragic for the life of the believer. And when we lose our spiritual vitality, we have to make sure that that we can admit it. Can I ask you this? Have you lost your cutting edge? Are you in a spiritual slump? Do you not have the power you used to have, or are feeling as close to God as you normally do? How do you know that you lost your cutting edge? Well, first thing, you start losing your love. You start losing your love. You know, there are things that don't move you anymore. Things that don't touch your heart anymore like they used to do, like they used to. Your heart probably has gone cold. You know, you can sit through a church service, even online. You know, I get happy online. When I hear, I get happy online. But nothing moves you anymore. You know, you're cold and you're sitting through service and there's nothing is speaking to your spirit or your heart. That probably means that you've grown cold and you've lost your fire. Something ought to move you, whether it's a song, whether it's a scripture, a word, whether it's the love of helping someone else. Something ought to move you in the Christian faith that that'll light a fire under you. If you're feeling that way, and it's easy to feel that way, especially while we are paused in this pandemic, while we're sheltering in place, it's easy to get to that place to where that nothing moves us anymore. Everything seems to be negative. Everything we're watching on television, everything that's coming down the pipe seems to be negative, and our country is moving in a negative direction. And we had this megalomaniac in power, and there's racial divides and social injustice, and nothing is moving us anymore. That's one of the ways that you know that you've lost your spiritual vitality, if there's nothing moving you. You lost your spark that you used to have in life, and you lost what Revelation talks about. You've lost your first love, meaning your love for God and your love for the Lord Jesus in your life. And you know, my brothers and sisters, it can happen to all of us where we can get to that place where our relationship with God becomes duty and not delight. But I need to tell you, remind you, that God has been good to you. Another way that we can tell, you know, not only is it that we've lost our excitement and our energy and our strength and there's no joy, but, you know, one of the ways is that we know we're in a spiritual slump, and we got to admit it, is that that we lose our faith. Amen. We lose our faith. We're not acting and moving on our faith like we used to. It's like David said in Psalm 73, verse 2, he said, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." I like the way another version puts that when he said, "I had almost stopped believing. I had almost lost my faith." That's how you know. A lot of times that you're in a spiritual slump, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. That you have no vision and no projections of what God is doing in your life or what he wants to do, and you're not moving out on faith. You know, one of the ways we've lost our fire, our energy, our enthusiasm for the things of God, but also we're not moving out on faith. Stop taking risks. We start playing it safe. Are you listening to me? We're being predictable and ho-hum and settling for second best, knowing that God wants the best for us. But we've come to the place to where we've just decided, well, enough is enough. I'm done, you know, and we're not stretching. We're not growing. We're not reading. We're not pushing ourselves in the areas of faith that causes us to be the best that God wants us to be. God has placed stuff on our heart, and we're leaving it undone because we don't have the faith to step out there. That's how you know you lost your spiritual vitality, is that you stop operating by faith. And the Bible is clear. Hear me, beloved. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There are things that God has placed on your heart that you need to step out there by faith. I hear a lot of stories now that we've been paused in this pandemic of people who quit their job or who were let off of a job, but they had this thing in their heart that they always wanted to do. And so what they did was they reinvented themselves. Listen, how many of us have been shaken by this pandemic, but we're not operating by faith? We're not stepping out there and allowing God to pull out of us what is in us. We got to admit that we have lost our spiritual vitality. That's the first thing that this man did. Listen, beloved, some of us are right there right now. You've lost your love and you lost your faith, and you're not stretching, you're not pushing yourself, you're not growing, you're not in the Word, you're not your heart is not bent toward the things of God, we got to admit it. And I know, because the life can beat you up. You know, circumstances can beat us up, and other people can beat us up, and all of that. And, you know, we've got problems and situations and circumstances that are hassling us, and it seems as if we've lost all of our joy. Listen, beloved, there are times in our life where we were closer to God than we are right now, and we've got to admit that. That we got to admit it. And the question we got to ask if we admit it is what we going to do about it. You know, I don't feel close to God. I don't feel like I got spiritual vitality. I don't feel his presence. Let me just say this real quick. That's a lousy way for a child of God to live. God been too good to us. He's blessed us beyond measure. He's put stuff in us that he wants to work out for the kingdom's sake. And that's a lousy way to live if we are not, if we are feeling like we done lost our joy and we're not connected. One of the most difficult and humbling steps to take is it to admit that we are not where we used to be. That's humbling. I know I could do better. I know I could be better. I know I can live better. I know I can walk by faith. I know it's in me. And it's humbling to admit that. If that's you today, I want you to start by saying, God, I admit I'm not where I should be. And I pray that you would reignite that fire in my heart. First thing we got to do is admit it. That's the first step. And second step is this on your outline. We got to come to the place to where we acknowledge where we lost it. Put that in that blank. Acknowledge where we lost it. On your outline, it says in verse 6 and 6, so the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place where it fell. The second step of reconnecting and feeling that spiritual vitality is admit where you lost it. I mean, you got to acknowledge where you lost it. And listen, this man identified the exact spot. He said, I asked Master, what shall I do? In other words. And Elijah said, where did it fall? And the man took him to the very spot. Get that. Where he lost his axe head. Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is, you know, do you know where you lost your spiritual vitality or your closeness to God? You got to ask yourself that question. Do you know why you don't feel as close to God anymore? Has your relationship become rote with God? Are you just going through the emotions and your emotions are all over the place? This man showed Elijah the exact spot where the axe head fell into the water. Listen, let me give you a few areas. These are not exhaustive, but these are just a few areas in which we could have lost our connection to God, our spiritual vitality. First one on your outline could be distractions or busyness. You are just it's when we get busy. For me, when I get busy, I tend to forget the things of God. You know, of the certain things that I need to do to cultivate my relationship with God when I get busy, when there's a lot of stuff going on. And, we tend to forget God. We put God on pause, or he tends to take a back seat in our life when we're busy. And sometimes distractions can do that. And sometimes we can go hours and even days. Come on, somebody. Without connecting, without praying, without talking to God, or even sometimes even thinking about God. We get distracted by busyness. And even our serving God can distract us from the Lord. Just because I come to church and preach every Sunday and come on Wednesday, I'm busy doing God's work, but I can't let that distract my relationship from God and even serving God. You say, well, I'm out at the church. I'm doing this. But all this busyness can distract us from our closeness to God. We can be busy doing the things of God without being close to God. Woo, I hope you write that down. We can be busy doing the things of God without being close to God. So those things, busyness can be a distraction for us. But not only that, beloved, disobedience. Not doing what God wants us to do. When God tells us to do things, we wait or delay. And whenever we wait and delay, it disconnects us to God. That can happen. The question is, we got to ask, what is it that we've been procrastinating on? What is it that God told us to do that we have left undone, that we have not done it? These kinds of things, this disobedience, not doing what God wants us to do, that stuff that we say, I plan to do that one day. Well, God has already told you to do it, and yet you're not doing it. Come on, somebody help me. I know reading my Bible or praying, I know I got to do that. But yet we're not doing, we're procrastinating. Listen, what is it that we keep delaying in our life that God has already told us to do? Disobedience, listen. And it could be we're going through these lessons, and tonight you'll go through another lesson on forgiveness, our second lessons on forgiveness. But listen, maybe God has told you to forgive somebody or accept the forgiveness of somebody else, he's asked you to go and ask somebody for forgiveness, and yet we've left it undone. We're walking around with resentment in our heart of what somebody had done, and God had already told you, go and forgive that person in your life. And you've left it undone. And that can disconnect us to God, because the Bible says if we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. He'll hold something to our charge. And that connection to God, that's where we got to get to, can lie in our forgiving somebody else. My brothers and sisters, when God tells us to do something, hear me good. We got to do it now, because when we delay, delaying is disobedience. Not tomorrow, not next week. Don't procrastinate. Do whatever you're going to do, do it now. That's what Jesus told Judas. Whatever you're going to do, you better go on do it now. And that's what we got to get to that place. Whatever we're going to do, we got to do it now. Don't procrastinate. It could be distraction, disobedience, when we acknowledge where we lost it. It could be relying on our own power and pride. Get that. Bible says that pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The truth of the matter is, when we rely on our own power and pride, that can disconnect us. And we got to admit that, we've lost it. And we got to acknowledge maybe it's pride. Maybe it is we're trying to operate in our own power. We stop literally depending on God, and we start taking up the mantle of our own life and start trying to work things out on our own. Listen, that's pride. When we think we know it all, and we can handle it all, and we can do it all, that's pride. Pride can get in the way and disconnect us to God. Are you listening to me? That's the place where we get arrogant and prideful and presumptuous, like where we can handle stuff on our own, where our ego gets in the way, E-G-O, where we edge God out. We don't need him, we feel. So pride can be an area that we might need to acknowledge in our life. Listen, the truth of the matter is, we were never meant to operate in our own strength anyway. As a believer, our goal is to make sure that we're operating in the strength of the Lord, not our own power, not under our own intellect, our ingenuity. No, we rely as believers on the power of God. So it could be pride and power, but also it could be carelessness and laziness. I mean, that's just the reality of what some the loss of spiritual vitality. It just could be carelessness, in other words, or laziness. We get lazy and get careless about our spiritual life, where we stop, if we would, doing the things that we know we need to do in order to be close to God. We stop tuning in Bible study. We stop looking at church service, and we let days go by where we don't read our Bible or we're not in prayer, and we just got careless with our relationship with God. And the truth of the matter, that goes for any relationship that we're in. When you get careless in the relationship, relationship itself loses its strength. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, we get lazy about giving, lazy about serving, lazy about sharing, or telling others about the goodness of God. And, we stop doing those things that helps our heart to stay warm and on fire for God. And when we do that, when we get careless, listen, we got to acknowledge that we're simply not doing the things that we need to do. I wish somebody would help me here. The truth is, beloved, maybe we feel so disconnected from God because it's been so long that we really don't have the slightest idea what disconnected us. You know, we can't acknowledge it because we don't have the slightest idea. We've been feeling this for a long time. But maybe it's not pride. Maybe it's not operating in our own power. Maybe it's not distractions or busyness or disobedience. We just don't know what it is, and we don't have the slightest idea. But let me just drop a few more on it. Maybe it's a relationship. You got into this relationship with this person. And instead of that person helping you to draw close to God, maybe, perhaps, he or she drawing you away from God. And it could be some relationship that you're unequally yoked in that can draw you away from God. Maybe it's a hobby. I heard a friend of mine, a preacher, he had dropped off the scene. So I finally caught up with him. I said, "Man, where you been? What's going on with you?" He said, "K-Ray, man, I had dropped it all. I had got so good at golf," he said, "I forgot I was a preacher and thought I was gonna become a golfer." And it could be a hobby. We out there with these hobbies, and it's okay to have a hobby. You got to do something outside and do a lot of stuff, but sometimes these hobbies can be distractions for us, if you would. And maybe it was making money. You wanted to make money, and it drew you away from God. Maybe it was some goal that you had. I don't know. You don't know what it was, but you do know how you're feeling. And you know you used to be close to God and you're not there anymore. Listen, what do you do when you can't figure out where you lost it? Well, here's the good news. You can come back to God. You can cry to him and say, "God, I need your help. I don't know where I lost it. I don't understand what I'm going through." Praise be to God. You can talk to him and ask him to show you areas of your life. I just named and threw out a couple just to help us. We can just call on God and ask God to bring us back to that place. And ask God, where did I lose it? Where did I go wrong? Where did I make the wrong turn? And I believe God loves us so much that he's willing to show us and to even bring us back where we need to be. Are you listening to me? We got to acknowledge it. We got to admit that we lost it. We got to acknowledge where we lost it. But then the third thing is, listen, we've got to expect, put this in that blank, we have to expect God to restore it. If I'm going to cry out to God, listen, I got to expect God going to restore that thing. The man cried out. You'll see that he cried out that he lost it, and Elijah, the Bible says, asked him where he lost it, and the Bible says that Elijah threw a stick into the water, and the axe head floated to the top. We gotta recognize that when we cry out to God, just like this man cried out to Elisha, listen, we gotta expect God to restore our spiritual vitality. God wants us close to him. God wants us to operate in his strength and his power and his ingenuity. He wants to lead our life, and he wants us to have spiritual strength. I praise be to God, and I got to believe that God can restore it, and not only can he do it, I got to believe he will do it. He will get me back to where I need to be. I know that's shouting for somebody. Somebody ought to be in your room. You ought to be giving God some praise right now, simply because if you ask God, God can restore you back to where you were before. Woo! That ought to shout you. Woo! That ought to just throw you for a loop right now. It ought to make your soul leap right now, because you can get back to where God wants you to be. Are you listening to me? The Bible says in verse 6 that Elijah cut off a stick, threw it in the water, and the axe head floated. Miracle. Amen, somebody. Pretty bizarre, but a miracle nonetheless. And he does something very odd there. Just threw a stick into the water, and yet the axe head floated. What was the significance of the stick? I'm glad you asked. What was the spiritual power in the stick? Let me just tell you real quick. This is a great theological blessing. Don't tell anybody I told you, but it wasn't no power in the stick. Hello, somebody. It ain't, there's no spiritual power in that stick. No, it was just a stick. And Elijah threw it in there. And it was just simply this. It was a demonstration of faith that that when I throw this in the water, the axe head is going to come to the top. He could have threw a penny in there. Couldn't have been anything. Could have threw a watermelon, amen, in there. And could have been an earring or whatever. But it was just a symbolic of the faith that Elijah had that God was going to do something about it. Are you listening to me? It was Elijah publicly saying, God gonna show up, and he gonna restore what this gentleman lost. That ought to help somebody today. Elijah was not a Houdini. He was not a David Copperfield. He wasn't a magician. No, he was just a man who trusted God and believed God. He wasn't about to pull a rabbit out of his hat. That wasn't all that. It was just a demonstration of faith. He acknowledged that I believe God gonna do something about it, and I expect God to do something about what this man lost. He lost his cutting edge, and now God's gonna do something about it. He expected it. He believed it. He trusted God for that. And some folk may have a problem with this miracle. They say, well, they try to explain it away and figure some stuff out. But if God can make iron, and all this iron in the world, and he is the creator of all things and iron, certainly he can suspend the natural law and make an axe head float. Praise be to God. God still can do miracles. And that's what a miracle is. A miracle is simply God suspending the natural order of things. And that's what happened in our text. God suspended the natural order of things, and he allowed the axe head to float to the top of the water. What a bizarre miracle, but a miracle nonetheless. The axe head came back. Can I say this to you, beloved? Listen, God specializes in doing the impossible. If you say, well, I can't get this back. No, God specializes in the impossible in my life. Somebody ought to get that today. You know, if you say I can never be close to God again, you're wrong, because God specializes in the impossible. If you can say I'll never be blessed by God again, no, or God can't use me, you're wrong. God specializes in the impossible. If you say I can never get that power back in my life, you're wrong. If you say I can't get my spiritual strength and spiritual vitality, you're wrong, because God specializes in the impossible. He specializes in the impossible recovery. What we say we cannot get again, God says, this is my specialty. I can handle this. If you say what things that are impossible with man, you better recognize it's possible with God. If you want your spiritual strength back, you want your vitality back, if you want your push back and your fight back, and if you want it all back, listen, you better recognize that the God that you serve, hear me, beloved, it specializes in impossible recoveries. What you say you can't get back, God says, I've got the power to allow you to get it back. I've got the strength and the know-how to help you to get it back. That's what we see in this Bible story, in this text, is that God is specializing in recovering what was thought impossible to be done. Axe head of all things, made of iron, is now floating to the top. Woo, doggy, that just excites me, that nothing is impossible with God. You ought to keep telling yourself, you ought to look in the mirror every day in the morning when you feel like you're in this spiritual slump. You ought to say, God, I know you can do it. God, I know you got the strength. God, I know you got the power. I know you can handle this thing. And you ought to remind yourself every day that whatever it is, God has got it. He specializes in things impossible. That's how we know blind men saw in the Bible. That's how we know God got a coin out of a fish's mouth. That's how we know that God fed 5,000 on the Judean hillside with a little boy sack lunch that's filled with a couple of sardines and a few tea cakes. God specializes in the impossible. And if you don't believe that, you better recognize, if you don't believe any of that, recognize that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, because on the third day he got up with all power in his hand. And if God can conquer death, hell, and the grave, he can conquer anything and handle anything in our life. Woo, I'm teaching myself happy today. Help me hear somebody. God can handle it. He can handle it. He can do it. He can make ways out of no way. Are you listening to me? What a promise. Jeremiah on your outline says, the Lord says, if you return to me, I will. Circle that. I will, not I hope, not I think, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. What a promise in the word of God. If you just return, if you just come back, he says, I can restore you so you can continue to serve me. Listen, if you're a believer and you're tired of flailing around, amen, with an axe handle and no axe head, and you don't have your spiritual strength, listen, you've been going through the motions of pretending like you got it all together. Listen, beloved, and you're feeling really empty inside. You're going through the motions without emotion and all of that. Listen, you better recognize that that's probably why you're tired. That's probably why you've been trying to do that thing on your own. That's probably why you're tired. You're depending on your own power. And again, we weren't made to live a powerless life. Listen, notice that the Bible says that the man cried out that the axe head was borrowed. Woo! It was borrowed. It flew in the water. Lord, what am I going to do? Master, what am I going to do? He says it was borrowed. Listen, do you know that everything that you have in life is borrowed? Come on, somebody help me. Everything that you got belongs to God. There's not a single thing that you have that doesn't belong to God. It all belongs to God. None of us really belongs to us. God just loans it to us. Our kids are not ours. Our wife, our husband, they're not ours. Our money is not ours. It all belongs to God. He created it, and he just loans it to us. Hello, somebody. And when you die and you go to be with the Lord, he gonna loan your stuff to somebody else. All that money you gonna leave, he gonna loan it to somebody else. I understand setting up areas where you got some generational wealth. Come on, somebody help me. Where your kids, and your great grandkids ain't got to worry about stuff like you had to worry about, and you're setting up certain things to have generational wealth. But I also want to suggest to you, you better spend some of it, because when you die, God gonna give what he has lent you to somebody else. He gonna give it to your kids, and they gonna spend it up. So you better spend up some of it now. Are you hearing me? Listen, everything that we have in this life is borrowed from us, and God gives it to us on loan. Listen, even the power that we have in our life is borrowed power. It's not our own power that we operate in as believers. It is, we operate when the Spirit of God lives in us, we ought to operate in the power of Almighty God. It's just borrowed. Just like the man said, the axe head, the thing that gave him an ability to do what he was supposed to do, it was borrowed. Listen, beloved, the good news is that you can reconnect today. This very day, you can reconnect to God. Listen, you can plug back into the power of God. Amen, somebody. We can break out of that spiritual slump. And how do you do it? You better run back to God. Don't walk. Don't skip. Come on, somebody. Run back to God. And come running back with all your power, your strength. Get to back where you needed to be. Here's the final step, and I'll let you go. And that is this, that when you lost your cutting edge, your spiritual vitality, you got to admit that you lost it. You got to acknowledge where you lost it. And then you have to accept that that God is going to restore you. You got to believe that God going to restore you back to that place, and then you got to expect God to restore. Then you got to, lastly, here it is, you got to reach out, put that in that blank, that fourth blank. You got to reach out, hear that, and receive it. You got to reach out and receive it. Listen, admit you lost it, admit where you lost it, expect God to give it back, but you got to reach out and see. Notice verse 6, the Bible says that the man, when Elijah said, "Where'd you lose it?" And Bible says in verse 6, the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place where he cut it off, he threw it in there and made the iron flow. Verse 7, and he said, here's what Elijah said to the man. "Now pick it up or take it up." And the Bible says that he reached out his hand and he took the axe head. Get that, beloved. Don't miss this important point. And that is this. The God who did the miracle, the piece of iron floating to the top in the Jordan River miraculously, listen, if he did all of that, he could have taken that iron and that axe head and floated it right to the man and put it right on the axe handle himself. God could have done that. If he even made it float, he could have did it another further. But no, once it floated, Elijah said, "Now pick it up." What's the point there? Don't miss this. The point is this, beloved, that we got to realize that there is a part that we have to play in this. I like this. We got to reach out and we got to receive it. If we have lost our spiritual vitality, we're not where we ought to be. We got to admit that, admit where we lost it, figure out the area of our life that got us off track. We got to expect God to give it back. But then listen, we've got to reach out. Watch this. And we got to receive it. We got to receive that thing. And I like out of your Bible, out of your outline, I like out of where we talked about the book of Revelation, where the church at Ephesus had lost their first love. And this is what God says to them. He says, "I know the love you had is first gone." He says, "Remember how far you've fallen. Return to me." This is Ephesians chapter 2. "Return to me and change." This is Revelation chapter 2. "Return to me, change the way you think, and act and do what you first did." He says, "Remember." He says, "Return," and then "repent," or repeat. He says, "Remember where He says, remember where you've fallen. That's the ideal of knowing. You got to remember. And this is how we come back to God. We got to remember where we've fallen, where we used to be. And, you know, we got to remember what it was like when we were close to God. You got to remember how much power we felt we had in the Lord when we were there at that place where we were seated in fellowship and communion with God. We got to remember that. Don't forget that. I remember when I first got saved, Lord, I wanted to share Christ with a cat, anybody who walked by, a dog. I would tell them about the goodness of God. And then as we get older, as we get into this rote and routine, we stop having that fire. We got to remember that first fire that we had. And listen, beloved, that's the danger of some folk who grew up in church. You know, this just, you were singing in the Little Workers Guild, and your mama brought you to church back, and you can lose that fire. You don't remember, you don't have that notion of when you remember where you were on fire to God. You got to remember that place. And then he says, return. You got to take the steps back. And then he says, you got to do the things that you used to do. Repeat. You got to do what you used to do in order to get back to where you need to be. Listen, beloved, that can happen in any relationship. You done lost your love, love in your relationship. Listen, love is a choice. Y'all not getting along together. You got to remember what brought you together for the first time. You got to return and do those things that it takes to go back into that relationship. But then you also got to do the things you used to do. You used to bring her flowers. You don't do that anymore. You used to bring her candy. You don't do that anymore. You used to call her on your lunch hour, and you used to call him on your, you don't do that anymore. That you got to do the stuff you used to do in order to get that spark back. That's the same way it is with God. We got to remember where we were. Watch that. And then we've got to return to God, literally go back to God and say, God, I need you, and I can't keep operating like this. And then you got to start doing the stuff you used to do. You used to get up early in the morning and go to Bible and study with God and talk to God and let God talk to you. Listen, beloved, I'm done when I tell you this. Hear me and hear me good. If you don't get anything else I said this day, I want you to get this. Got to ask yourself, are you as close to God as you want to be? Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife. Don't blame your parent. Are you as close to God as you want to be? If you're not close to God like you used to be, guess who moved? It wasn't God. Hello, somebody. It had to be us. Because people who are disconnected to God, listen, and people who are close to God, and people who feel the power of God, you know what? You know why they're close to God? Because they want to be. Whew. Yeah. They want to be close to God. They desire it. They crave it. They long for the relationship they have with God. That's, you see people who are spiritual giants and they're doing stuff and they're close because they want to be. And we got to get back to that place of wanting and desiring and craving, want to be close to God like we used to be. And those folk desire it more than anything in the world. They don't care what's going on in life. They want to be close to God. That's why in your Bible, it says, David said in Psalms 84, verse 2, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. Listen, my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. My soul longs for God. Get that. Folk are close to God because they want to be. And listen, you are as close to God as you want to be. And you got to make a decision. Because notice this, God will not play second fiddle in your life. He deserves better. He deserves more. He deserves your very best. All right, I'm done when I tell you this. Be safe out there. There's some threats and other stuff that's out there. Be careful. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of not only your life or your joy and all of that. Be careful. Be safe. Remember, we're still pausing this pandemic. I want you to make sure you wear your face coverings and wash your hands and all that good stuff. And listen, thank you for tuning in this day, and we shall see you this Sunday. All right, let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity as we share your word. We pray you help us to get our spiritual vitality back. Help us to admit it. Help us, oh God, to acknowledge it. Help us to believe that you can restore it, and then help us to reach down and take it for ourselves. Help us to play our part, and help us to realize that if we don't feel as close to you, that it wasn't us, that it wasn't you who moved. Thank you for not moving, God. It was us. And help us to get that fire back in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. And together all of God's children said amen. Amen. God bless. We'll see you Sunday.